We launched with 13 games,
wow.
And we intend to release a new game every month for at least the next 8 months.
And there are things like a procurement fraud indicator game.
That's a great game. That's one of my favorites.
That's the one I was playing with last night. Tell us how this works.
So the Procurement Fraud Indicators game was based on a module that we have at DAU, one of our continuous learning modules, lasts about 2 hours, and it's a very gray area topic, whether procurement fraud has been committed. And we decided that just having the module with just the policy might not actually equal a student being able to actually do this analysis of whether procurement fraud had happened. So we created a game, and in the game you have about 8 scenarios. You go to these people's offices, these suspects' offices, and their homes, and you collect clues, and then you're allowed to start making your own theories about whether procurement fraud has been committed or not, and if so, what type of procurement fraud. You get a chance to interview the suspects, and they react accordingly to your line of inquiry, certainly. And at the end, you're once again asked to determine, did this happen, and if so, what type? And so did you learn? Do you feel like you know a little bit more about procurement fraud?
There were actually, and I've been, you know, I'm 7,000 years old, and I've been covering this stuff for a long time, and there were a couple things that I learned even about some of the challenges with dealing with and identifying procurement fraud.
Yeah, it's certainly one of those areas that we really felt having experiences and being able to apply that content in a bunch of different scenarios was really going to equal a more prepared workforce in that department.
And is part of the idea behind a serious game is to take serious matters and try and make it a little bit fun so this doesn't have to just be, you know, oh, I have to go to learn about procurement fraud, sounds painful. Hey, this might not be such a bad thing.
You know, some of the concepts certainly within the acquisition workforce are not the most exciting. And serious games in general certainly are not actually geared towards fun, unless you're working in the K-12 market, because you're never going to explain to a 10-year-old why math is important. So you
right.
have to have a little fun. But our foundation is really that we're providing relevant practice opportunities, and that if we do that, people will see the importance of it and they'll accept it. We want them to be engaged, so we don't want it to be a real stick-in-the-mud game. But, you know, we're not building Halo out there either. These
yeah.
games are certainly not huge production quality games.
Try and explain to a journalist why math is important. It's an equally difficult challenge, let me tell you. Do you have favorites? Are there favorite games in there that you think, wow, this was just something that really accomplished exactly what we're looking to do with a game?
You know, my two favorites are Procurement Fraud and Charge, and so I think I speak of them most often. But there's a Diner Dash-style game, which is a game metaphor that lots of people are familiar with on the entire acquisition life cycle. There's a life cycle logistics. We have games for every functional area that DAU represents.
The page, I don't mean this as to be a smack in anyone's face, but it doesn't look very governmentally.
By design.
there you go. Score.
Well, you know, the market that is typically a consumer of the casual games industry is the same as what we see in our acquisition workforce. Casual Games Association says there's 200 million users and that they're between the ages 25 to 45. And so we knew that there was a level of expectation from our population who might be accessing the site to have exactly those functionalities that the site does have, to be able to log in and collect badges for their play and create their favorites list and have their own little avatar and be able to comment and make comments about all of the games.
The other great thing about the page is you have it divided up. So there's acquisition, there's business cost, finance areas, contracting, logistics, systems, engineering. So you break them up in different ways too. So if you're looking for a game where a specific area, you can do that as well.
Absolutely. And we're hoping that people will, of course, play all of the games, because we really decided that we wanted to build games that were core competencies, so they're representative of what we expect almost every acquisition professional to know. So we've set them up to be successful in all of our games, but we're also hoping that these games could be used as part of our general curriculum, in that faculty who might notice a deficiency in a particular student in one of those areas can remediate them by recommending that they go play these games, or students who feel like they want a refresher can go and interact with these games and be better prepared for their course experiences at DAU.
And is there, are all of these, are they flash? Are they, do I have to download something? How does it work?
These are all 2D flash games, and so they all play in your browser. We absolutely couldn't do anything that involved plugins or any of those types of higher-level games within this infrastructure, because we wanted everybody to be able to get to the site and everybody to be able to play them without having to worry about the technical constraints.
And were there who develops them? How do you actually create the games?
A lot of the games that we've created have been in very extensible formats, and so some of the games. Procurement fraud was done by ZG, which is here in Orlando. We have two on there, Select the Cell and the Continuous Process Improvement, which is another favorite of mine. It was actually recently named a finalist in the ITSIC Serious Game Showcase and Challenge.
Yeah.
That one was built locally by Retro in Orlando. And then we have a partnership here in Orlando with the ADL, the Advanced Distributed Learning Initiative, and they have actually been creating some games for us with the intention of taking the games that they create for us and trying to create platforms that will easily convert these types of games to mobile. So some of these games I can actually play on my cell phone as well.
Oh, how cool is that? I got to ask you, well, how long have you been a Fed, and how'd you get into this stuff?
You know, I was an early adopter of the government, I guess you would say. So I started when I was about 19 with an internship at the Naval Air Warfare Center down here in Orlando, but I didn't join DAU until I finished my PhD about 4 years ago. And they were shopping for a game czar, and I was available, and it just worked out.
Mm.
But you know, what a great honor and what a great gig. We'd been working. I come from a heavy background in simulation and in tactical training, and in those cases, we used simulations and games for the purpose of giving experiences that people couldn't otherwise have because they're either too dangerous,
right,
or too expensive, or they don't happen. And so we definitely saw the ability to apply this to a really heavily educationally centered perspective, and I jumped when I saw it.
Well, I think sometimes people discount these games, but a flight simulator, well, that started with the military, and it's essentially a game, but my goodness, a lot of learning that goes on there.
Absolutely. I think that we learn socially and we learn from all of our experiences. And the real difference to us between a novice and an expert coming into acquisition certainly is actually having those experiences at the workplace, actually having seen all of these different sorts of programs that have come through and understanding all of the complex little innuendo. Even though these games are core competency focused, we still feel like we're laying a foundation.
One of my favorite books is a book about the history of Pixar Touch, The Making of a Company, and the thing that I found remarkable in it is all the technology that now makes Pixar movies all started with a DARPA grant, even before DARPA was around. It was ARPA then, and DOD still, and DOD still one of the largest users of this, mostly through simulations and training and all that kind of stuff, and through gaming. And sometimes I think people you must get a lot of sometimes pushback saying, "Hey, I don't want people playing these games on work time or whatever." But there is real learning that comes through here, it seems.
There really is. And, you know, when we developed these games, we had to make the assumption that their people really wanted to do better at their jobs. And it was an assumption that really, really paid off for us. But certainly there was the initial pushback of, oh, you know, maybe we shouldn't call it games and maybe we shouldn't really categorize it this way. And I think that just in the last couple of years, we're seeing this kind of thing not just become mainstream, but it's becoming the minimum, right? Like we're not going to do a lot of things that don't include either this kind of technology or others,
yeah,
as we move forward.
And is this an age thing? Do younger people, is this the way that they learn? Is it more than older folks?
You know, I don't like to think of it as an age thing. I know a lot of people talk about the digital divide or millennials. For me, it's really about exposure to technology. My mom Skypes, but I can't, right?
Yeah.
And just because she's actually dedicated the time and had those sorts of resources available to her. And so we certainly see all ages that have different levels of comfort with computer.
And it is, it's just my way of thinking. It's a different way of learning. Learning doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to be, you know, force feeding you in a classroom. If it's okay to have fun occasionally.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. I mean, certainly we're not, we don't want to not have fun.
Right.
I mean, that would be great. But I think that as we move forward with education in all sorts of domains, what we're going to see is that we can't cram information down people's throats anymore because it's not necessary to memorize anything. You can go to Google and get just about everything you need. However, there are lots of really complex higher order skills that are required to take what you're finding from Google and be able to apply it to your situation.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the sweet spot of having these experiences are going to really come into fruition.
It really is a phenomenal page. It's a phenomenal idea. I give you guys a lot of credit for doing it, and DAU a lot of credit for doing it. It has to be pretty exciting to, I mean, are there other game czars out there?
Well, you know, I believe there's a gentleman, Kumar Garg, from the White House. I call him their game czar, which I think might have been where I might have stolen
his name.
There you go. But But I don't know of any others. And certainly I have, you know, created a little Twitter account for me. I'm at GameSar. I've tried to monopolize it as much as possible.
Absolutely. Well, it's great. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
Well, you know, this site is actually a portion of a much larger site that is going to release in the near future. It's part of DAU's Continuous Learning Center.
Mm.
And we're going to be able to provide lots of really cool stuff in the upcoming months, including things like podcasts and webcasts and filmed interviews and, our course, content, not just the games, in mobile format. And we're hoping to take a lot of this to the iTunes stores in the very near future.
Excellent.
So we're really working to get everything just as accessible as possible.